This is Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week. Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about our church, our ministries, and our outreaches, please visit hillsidechurch.us.
And I'm excited to have her add to our message this morning as we have a Mother's Day themed message for you. And so I just thought it'd be wonderful because, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a mom. I do not mother well, and she is incredible. So I wanted to have her share with me. And today the message is titled Gifts from Mom. And I know we have three. Granted, we could spend time and talk about 3,000 or 3 million different aspects of what mothers bring to the table. And don't fear, all right, men don't want you to check out, or those of you in a different stage of life where you're like, my days of mothering are gone. Don't check out on us. We've got something that I think will help you even where you are today. And so if you have your notes, you can open up your worship guide. You can follow along with today's message. And again, it's entitled Gifts from Mom. And maybe while you're getting your notes out or getting a pen ready, I thought it'd be great. I wanted Kelly just to share, you know, there is nothing like a mother's advice. You know, and so we wanted, or I wanted especially, to ask Kelly, listen, what is the best piece of advice, or one of the best pieces of advice you received from your mom growing up?
Yeah. So before I get started, let me just preface this. My mom gives great advice, but and has for many years over the years. However, this one thing sticks out to me. She wouldn't probably say it's the greatest advice, but my sister and I, to this day, still use this in everything we do. How many remember the days of passing notes in class? Yeah, that's way before text messages and all that. So if you had to get real, right? You draw little pictures, and check it was yes, serious. Check yes. Well, that's amateurs. Once you got serious, you know, you had it all laid out. So anyway, so as I grew up and writing these notes in class, I would have my mom, you know, the one that she's trying to protect us and make sure that we're not doing things we shouldn't do. So she would about every week or so go through our backpacks. And yeah, and so of course, being the sassy teenager I was, you know, the whole waterworks, why are you invading my privacy? And she said, if you don't want me to read it, don't write it down. And that is that has followed us like all into adulthood, and it goes well for text messages, Facebook, social media, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes I see stuff and I'm thinking, if you don't want people to read it, don't write it down. So anyway, she gets
that's good advice. If you have Facebook piece, and
anything, yeah.
Yeah, thinking of the government, don't write it down.
That's right.
No, well, we are really excited just to share. You know, mothers have just a tremendous knack for keeping people alive. You know, and so we're going to look at some of the gifts that they bring to the table. And I was thinking about last week, you were down in Destin, and this knowing we were going to be speaking on Mother's Day and what, you know, moms bring to the table, I was reflecting. So two instances, these experiences both really happened. Saturday, you know, with our two daughters, I am the dance party king at our house. And while I don't know how to dance, I think I do. And so sometimes with our daughters, we have dance parties. And I remember Saturday, we had the music up loud in our living room. And come on, you know, men, you know what I'm talking about. Your default is what? Jump. If you don't know how to dance, what do? You start jumping up and down like, let's hold hands and jump. You know, that's the extent of my dance moves. That being said, that proceeded to go onto the couch. And so our 2.5-year-old was like, jumpy, jump, jump, you know, and I'm like, woo, encouraging it. And then, you know, I didn't think anything of it until Sunday afternoon.
When I came home.
When Kelly was back, and I did not realize how quickly our daughter's life could end from jumping on the couch. And it made me realize.
We see it all, don't we, ladies?
I am glad that there is a mom's voice in our home on multiple reasons. And I just kind of sat back like, I have no idea why she's dancing on the couch. Like, and now I'm telling you why. Mm-hmm. That was the day before. But today we're going to talk about, as I said, gifts for mom. We're going to just look at three areas. And it isn't, again, just limited to moms. And I want to set the stage. Like this isn't my first go around in ministry on a Mother's Day. I know it can bring a lot of sometimes emotions to the surface for various reasons. I know Mother's Days can be a bit complex depending on your upbringing. It may look dramatically different from ours. And so as a church, we minister to people. And to be quite honest, some of their past experiences aren't great. And we get that. But nonetheless, we just thought it would be so vital today to, of course, celebrate moms, but also let you know, listen, that we as followers of Christ can now, with the Holy Spirit's help, we can be comforted. We can be healed. Not only that, God heals us. He brings comfort. And here's the beautiful thing. He can take a mess or a mistake and make a masterpiece. And then here's what's amazing. He will use us to be a blessing to others. And so it's one of those remarkable things that God does, especially if you read Romans 8:28. That God, listen, he doesn't cause everything to happen, but here's what's beautiful. He will use all things for his glory in the end. And so we understand, for some of the stories, you may be like, I didn't get that from my mom. Like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. We get that, but let me say this. Here's a beautiful thing. You can now be that ambassador of God's love and God's hope. And you now can share the very things that we'll share today. And before we jump in, I know you wanted to say.
Yeah, and just to kind of bounce off of that a little bit, some of us are moms, some of us may not be moms in that season of life or for different reasons. And some of us have our moms with us today and some of us don't. So we understand that. And it's our heart that you leave here encouraged and blessed as a woman here today. So I also wanted to encourage you. This is something my our pastor's wife always encouraged us to do as women, is to find someone in our life, whether we're moms or physically or not, and spiritually be someone's mom. Let mentor someone. God gave us a gift of nurturing. He gave us a gift of wisdom to be able to pour that into others around us, as well as if you're praying through that, who God could send, pray that today, who could God send your way that you could pour into, as well as if you're needing that and you're needing that mentorship and that mothering, pray that God would send that person along your path to be that mother to you. So we just want to encourage you today, no matter what walk you're in, this is we want to bless you. This is for you.
No, it's so good, and I can't even count on two hands how many times somebody's come up to me and said, "Man, there was a grandmother somewhere praying for me." And so we celebrate and we know that impact. So jumping in to the message today, the first area we want to look at and just share from is the gift of identity. The gift of identity. And I've got a couple passages for you. In Luke chapter 1:31, we see that that God sends an angel, and this angel comes to visit Mary, obviously, who is about to hear some interesting news. And it is this: you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. There's power in names. There's power in speaking life and speaking names out. Jesus, all right, isn't just a first name for Jesus, and Christ is his last name. No, both of them have significant implications and significant meaning. And the name Jesus means to take away sin. And the angel would even go on to say, like, listen, it's because he will take away the sins of the world. As Christ followers, we know that when Jesus was on the cross, right? He took over and dismantled, disarmed, and defeated not only death, but the power of sin and the power of evil. And so we see that for Mary, I'm sure there's a side that you wish. I remember Kelly, and she'll share a little bit about that, but, there are books out on how to name your kids. But isn't that beautiful? Like Mary, it was just boom, angel came, Jesus. Okay, done. It kind of took all of the difficulty out. But another important passage is 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20. We see the first prophet for the ancient Israel community named Samuel. And here, his mother, Hannah, would name him Samuel. And here's what's remarkable. You can read here. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." The name Samuel means and meant heard from God. Here's what's remarkable, if we will, in speaking out identity. Samuel would become the first prophet, okay, who was positioned to hear from God and then to speak his truth upon the nation. And he was the one, okay, who would speak to the nation of Israel. What's remarkable is he anointed the first two kings, right? In King Saul and who subsequently King David. He was the one who would anoint them and call them part. And granted, it's name giving, but every time we see a name in Scripture, it's not by chance, it's not by accident, but very much throughout Scripture, we see names reveal nature and the side of the person. And as I shared earlier, Paul means all knowing one.
Oh, gosh.
And AKA
did y'all catch
handsome,
that?
AKA amazing. No, I'm teasing.
He's reading the wrong version.
We'll get that later. That was a joke. All right, but I say that to say names do hold power, and names reveal, if you will, identity. And we've just seen time and again. You know, I even had somebody come up after the first service and just share with me a little bit. They're like, "We were just thinking about names and how we had chosen names and how God had even spoken things out, and just kind of knew how how our kids would be." They were good names too, so that being key. But I know you had to share a story on.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Lord, I did pray that the Lord would give us our kids' names, because I knew he and I were not agreeing on names. Anybody deal with that out there? Like, you got a list of names, and you're like, "This is what I'm going to do," when you're single, and then you get married, and they're like, uh-uh. So we dealt with that. So I said, "Lord, you're just going to give me this name." So I do remember the Lord whispered Lily's name, who's in here today, and then Emma as well, which, come to find out, Emma, I struggle with that name, not her name, but just putting her name, her first and her middle name together. And when I started telling my dad about her name, he said, "That's your great-grandmother's name." So that sealed it. So that was really a neat thing. But I think, too, as far as speaking identity over your kids, it's very important that we as parents do that. And sometimes you may not know how, when you're chasing them around the yard, you know, trying not to run into the street or anything like that, just trying to keep them safe or telling them not to hit their brother or their sister. You know, you're not really, you know, it's kind of nice when they're asleep because they're quiet and they're so peaceful. And you just rub their little heads. And you're like, but it's a great time to just speak over them the things that God has for them, and just Scripture, and just talk about what God has. Because, as I mentioned last service, culture is telling them one thing, and so we need to be telling them the other. And so they're getting one or the other. So I think it's important as parents that we just continue to instill that identity of who God's called them to be, even when they're not acting it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, And I know we both have from our mothers, as well as, you know, not just our moms, but even others that have been kind of spiritual moms or spiritual mentors along the way. One of the, I don't want to say fascinating things, but one of the most powerful things you can do is speak truth.
Yeah.
You speak truth. And, you know, our daughter, not our youngest one yet, but Lily will come and she'll just, you know, she's in this frame of mind where she'll say, "I'm a..." and then something silly, you know, and I know she's just being goofy and we're laughing, but the other day at the dinner table, I just looked at her and I said, "No, you don't get to call yourself that." And I kind of got sincere with her. I was like, no, I know we're just having fun and you don't, that's off limits. That's not who you are.
That's right.
You don't get to call yourself that. And right now, you only get to hear or be who we say you are. Keller's like, "It's a little heavy-handed there. Why don't you calm down?" But I was sincere because I thought, man, you know, it's so easy, isn't it? We struggle to believe truth, but it can be so easy to believe a lie.
Yeah.
And all throughout the day, you know, somebody, come on, we won't go there, but we've all been hit somewhere in our soul from something somebody said that was an untruth. And so we're getting ahead of the game as best we can to pray and to speak and to create that environment where they become recipients, like you said, of their true identity and their and loved by God. And one of the things I do, and it just falls into my daily prayer time in the morning, is this great book just recommended to you. It's a book, and it's not just a book about prayer. They have one of those that can be pretty lengthy, but there's just literally this book of prayer and prayers, and it's called The Power of a Praying Parent. And it covers just different arenas of your child's life. And just this morning, I was praying over an area, and it's a beautiful thing because, listen, you've got to know this, depending on your journey with God, let me just share this with you. There is a supernatural realm. Yeah. There's a spiritual realm. Yeah. You may be in the journey here and just be like, man, life's tough. Everything's so hard. No. Well, can I tell you? There's a reason. It could be your own mistakes, but that may not be the only reason. It could be something we know is spiritual attack. And can I be honest with you? Our children oftentimes face some form of spiritual warfare in their lives. And so here's what we get to do. We get to pray over them. Like you said, not running around the house trying to keep them alive, or maybe not in the middle of a dance party, but at different points along the way. And we know that. Our moms were, especially mine, was praying over me during my teenage years. But did you have anything else to add to that? Okay, so the first thought, again, just the gift of identity. The second one is we're both here today because of it, and we just frame this as the gift of discernment, all right? The gift of discernment. I remember in a state of desperation a year and a half ago, running to the library and grabbing and borrowing this book from the library called Bringing Up Girls by Dr. James Dobson. For those of you who don't know, man, it's a 3-to-1 ratio in my home. So I'm, you know, when I'm right, trust me, I'm still wrong. Can I get an amen? And I mean it. But no, and so I was reading in the book, and what's amazing is in the beginning of this book, Bringing Up Girls, Dr. James Dobson, like, helped me. This light bulb went off. Because let me just speak to people that aren't ladies in the room. Like, us men, sometimes, let's just be honest, you don't always understand the ladies in your life, amen? And it can be tough to know what they're talking about sometimes. Like, you know, just like you know, they're talking and you are listening, but you don't know. And this will even be like our 6-year-old, like she's talking and I'm like, honey, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's a good phrase. I have no problem saying that now in my home. And here's one of the things, this book, Bringing Up Girls, no joke. He goes into the science of why women have this like sixth sense of intuition. And he talked about how quickly their brains develop. All right. Yeah. We all know that. Like, we all know ladies develop a lot faster sometimes than men. But he talked about it's incredible. Even from a young age, and they really showcased around that age, 3 and 4, that children that young, ladies especially, they can read faces way better than men. And they can read and understand, and they understand tones and you know, maybe not all the words, but tones, facial, body language. And it's like I'm reading that, and I'm like, oh, no, I need more than a book to help me navigate Bringing Up Girls. But what it was just so fascinating to me because literally it wasn't just a spiritual point. Discernment, we'll share, is spiritual. But there was also just, it like brought knowledge to my mind that, man, that's it. Ladies do have this gift of intuition that develops. Whereas he was saying, like, you know, the boy's mind can read just a few things in a conversation. Like, the girl's mind covers every possible angle of the conversation. And I don't say, I mean this genuinely. And I was just like, well, that helps. And so the gift of discernment, though, is not just intuition, though I will say this, I've seen moms, I'll be candid with you, I have seen moms have intuition and what, to talk quite frankly, almost spiritual direction, even though they would say they weren't following Christ or in relationship with Him. that has helped save people's lives along the way. And I just love this. Your mom.
My mom just put up some guidelines. So, you know, she didn't have to, she did discern, but she didn't have to all the time, because with friends, you know, as you get older, you know, you're, and I was always just try to be friends with everyone. So I would make bad choices in my friends. And so, but my mom just nipped that in the bud. So we lived in a small town, and we knew we were friends with the chief of police, and a friend of hers worked at City Hall, so she'd run background checks on everybody I was friends with.
I know, including...
including him.
Yeah.
She and she's probably, we were talking about this earlier, she's probably doing it for the girls now, like, you know, as they get older. She's going to be, I could just call mom, hey, I need you to run a background check. But, you know, it's funny as it is, but she knew.
Like, she's not joking.
I'm not
joking. I think people were nervously like.
No, she really did. It's probably illegal, but she did.
We'll strike that.
But you know, looking back, some of the people that she told me, you know, no, you're not hanging out with this person, she knew. Because now I look, you know, looking back, sometimes it didn't take that long for me to figure it out. But that she was right. And, yeah, she's awesome like that.
Yeah. No, and I mean it's one of those things. We'll actually be getting into this a little bit in this upcoming series on the Holy Spirit. But you know there are these things called spiritual gifts, and they're powerful gifts that really what they do is they help us as followers of Christ. And discernment is actually one of them. And I have found it very. I don't know, you know, God knows what He's up to, but I have found that ladies in almost every instance, they have a gift of discernment. And there's no doubt in my mind that that is something that God has wired them and implemented in them. And I used to have, man, I had this growing up as a teenage, you know, young man. I remember this worship pastor in our church, and he would know I could be impulsive, and danger was not something I ran from. Though I do now, but back then I didn't. A joke again. And he used to walk up to me and he was like, hey, man, your mom is going to be right 9 out of 10 times. And the other one time, you just give her credit,
yeah.
You know. And it's one of those things. So we talk about the gift of identity, the gift of discernment. And this third is really profound. It's the gift of authentic faith. And in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, we see the sequence of verses where Paul the apostle is writing to Timothy, his son, his what would be known as his spiritual son in the faith. And he's writing to this pastor, and here I just love this beautiful passage. And not that it needs to, but it so validates a mom and a lady's role mm-hmm. to help implement an authentic faith in the lives of those around them. And in chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7, I love this. It says, this is Paul writing. He says, listen, I've reminded you of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And in verse 7, it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Come on, verse 7 is the one we quote. And, you know, the one I was quoted to a lot growing up as well is, listen, God's given you this, 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 and this. But I find it so fascinating that Paul says, look, it flowed from your grandmother to your mother, now flows to you. Yeah. And I say that to say each of us in this place, right, each of us in this place, once we come to know Christ and begin journeying in His kingdom, now we get to be responsible to be ambassadors of sharing and instilling an authentic faith. Both of us, I know, were completely transformed because of the faith of our moms and, of course, our dads as well. But I think there's just such a power. I want to encourage everyone in here to think, listen, we have this opportunity to speak identity, absolutely, to walk and to set up guidelines of discernment, and in this third realm, to pass on an authentic faith. And listen, an authentic faith isn't do this or do that. Yeah. An authentic faith is not pulling out, hey, here's a list of rules. An authentic faith is how we love others. Jesus didn't say, listen, we're going to know I'm going to know you're my disciple because of how much you know, or how much doctrine you get picture perfect, or how many scriptures you can quote. No, Jesus clearly stated, look, they'll know you're my followers by your love, by your love, by your love, by your love. And so there are moments, even in our home, where when we are on target, even when something's gone wrong, or even with one of the kids, it's not our aim to always be right. It's our aim to always love. And so there are moments, you know, granted, some of you probably, you know, with teens, you're navigating all sorts of things. But, you know, you're like, you did what? You know, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to address that. But right now you need to know I love you. Yeah. You can't run from me. You may try to hide. We may see, you know, not always see eye to eye, but I want to let you know something. I love you and I care for you. And what we begin to do is it's in those moments that here's what's amazing. Our children, and not only, think of this, this is for everybody, not only our children, but those around us, they see the way we live and they're like, man, your God can be trusted. I can trust Jesus because of how you treat me. Oh, I can trust the Bible because of how you live. Yeah, I have some questions about it. Yeah, I may doubt a little bit. But my goodness, you know how to love people. And here's what's remarkable about this authentic faith, you know, is that we have the privilege of passing it on. And we just couldn't build this message, shape this message without talking about that gift that moms have of an instilling an authentic faith. In some of my upbringing, some of the churches I was in, there were some things that took place. I know your church as well. And we'd be like, that was pretty crazy, you know, or they said this, or they did this. And I saw, my parents have to deal with some things. And here's what's crazy. We'd come home, and there was always a place for questions. There's always a place to talk through what happened. And that was an environment they created. And it helped me trust their faith. With how they treated one another and the place we call home. But here's what's remarkable. We get to do that everywhere we go. Is now we get to have the opportunity to show this love and this mercy and this goodness of God. And so we are. This morning we're incredibly grateful for moms. We celebrate Mother's Day. And, we're just not only encouraged, we're inspired by the gift that moms bring to the table. And so we want to encourage you, and I asked Kelly if she would close us and close our message time in a moment of prayer and just blessing the ladies. So
sure. Father, we just thank you today, God. I thank you for every woman in this house, God. I thank you for that you have uniquely designed her, Father, for who she is, God. You've given her unique gifts and unique talents, God. And I just pray today, God, as she just goes through her day, that you bless her, Father, that you encourage her today. Let her feel your peace and your joy, God. For those who may not have children at this time, and maybe that's a heart's desire for them, God, I pray, Lord, that not only physically, Lord, you could bring that, but we also know that spiritually, God, you can bring people across their path, Lord, that they could mentor, God, that they could share wisdom with, that they could pour into, Father. And I pray that you would send that person, God, to them, Father, as well as those that are missing their moms and may not have a mom, Lord. I pray that you send that spiritual mother across their path to love on them, to share wisdom with them and to direct them, God. And for those moms that are in the throes of it, God, and just tired and working hard, God, I just pray you bless them, God. Give them a peace and an energy, Lord, and a strength, God, that only you can give, Father. I bless every woman in this place today, God. May your hand be upon her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.